This is a new year. We started in 83. It's no longer 82. There'll be a lot of yesterday's resolutions be broken today, won't they? You know, people will say, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and then turn around today and break them. So let's get started and try not to have to break so many of them on the first day. Let's get started on it and see what we can do. We're just keeping them. We've made them for the year and just keep them for the year. Let's read our scriptures, Revelations 6, verse 7 and 8. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and to kill with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now let's turn to Genesis, the third chapter, and we'll just read the entire chapter, because this will be part of what we'll be dealing on today. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, that. He said, I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? The man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Father, we ask you to bless the reading of your word. We believe your word to be true, and we know that it has the answer to all of our problems and heartaches and trials. And we ask you, Lord, that you would just grant understanding to each one. Lift away the burden from the hearts of those that are downtrodden. Lord, just guide all of us together. Forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I wanted to read all of that because we'll try to get to it in a little bit and see what the prophet covered from Genesis 3. But
we wanted to use that as a background because you'll see the battle.
We're talking about the fourth seal, which is the Battle of Armageddon. And we saw from our last studies of it that of the natural side of the fourth seal, that it covers the Battle of Armageddon and how that it'll finally terminate in a battle there that is called Armageddon, when Satan will come to his end under the fourth seal, when all his powers, we found, comes from a white, red, black horse, all comes together and makes a pale horse, bringing all them powers together. He'll come down to fight the true Word and will be destroyed by the Word. We know the battle has to be between God and Satan. Now, the greatest battle that's ever been fought, we'll find this morning, has already been fought. Maybe we won't get to it today, but it's already been fought, because when Jesus fought it out there in the Garden of Gethsemane, when his sweat became his blood, great drops of blood dropping forth, that was the greatest battle that's ever been fought right there. That was when the forces of evil had to give way, because there was one there that wouldn't give in to ideas and thoughts and things. But what we want to do this morning is kind of this. We took the natural side, and we saw the natural side of it, how Armageddon would be, and how, you know, a lot of people talk about, well, that Battle of Armageddon, it'll be down there in the Valley of Megiddo, and there'll be airplanes coming in this way, and it'll be Russia coming this way, and China coming this way, and everybody will be just fighting backwards and forth, you know, and all kind of nuclear destructions going on. Well, all of that's well and true, but what we're trying to see is, where did those forces come from that fights that battle? And if you read your fourth seal, Brother Branham doesn't mention Russia at all. He doesn't mention China. He doesn't mention anybody. He never talks about a battle of fighting a physical force. He shows that it's Armageddon, and we saw that means a final battle between the powers of good and evil. You know, they come to a final struggle. And sure, it'll be a literal battle now. Don't misunderstand me. It'll be a literal battle. There will be literal people fighting. There will be arms being, you know, guns being shot. Nuclear war will be going on. All kind of things will be happening. But what we're trying to see from it is where he gets his forces. Well, then we found from Brother Branham that he said those forces that Satan gets from the four corners of the earth to battle the Battle of Armageddon with comes from the Protestants and the Catholics. Well, then you might say, well, now, how will that be? You know, why would God show it that way when he was showing it to the prophet? Why would he come and preach that the greatest battle on this side of the millennium, there will be a final battle that will destroy everything, which is called Gog and Magog, but that's on the other side of the millennium. But prior to the millennium, the greatest battle that the world's ever known, and the prophet didn't talk about a shot being fired. He talked about Protestants and Catholics coming in together around Israel. And that the Bible says, when you see Jerusalem compassed about on all sides, then look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Well, then, if Russia's on one side, that's not fulfilling the Scripture. If you're just looking for a forceful battle to come down, Russia'd have to totally encircle Israel before your Scripture could be fulfilled. Well, then we wouldn't have no hope, because here we are sitting on one side. We just keep Russia off the other side, you know, from coming around, and we ain't got no problems then. The Bible can't be fulfilled. But we know right now we're looking for our redemption. We're looking to get out of here now, and then the Bible must be fulfilled. So we see
Jerusalem compassed about on every side now. We see the United States on one side, Russia on one side, this group over here and this group here, you know, the Arabs and things like that, all gathered around. And a little old country there that wouldn't be as big as the state of Georgia. That the whole world is coming together. Well, see, if we can see it, that the forces of evil coming against Israel will be Protestants and Catholics, not Russia and China and this and that, then we can see the scripture right now is fulfilled that they are compassed on every side. Well, now see, what we want to do is go back to the very beginning. That's why I read there in Genesis. Because the prophet covers that battle didn't begin on earth, it begun in heaven. And would be finished in the end time in a battle called Armageddon. See, something started the battle. So we don't want to just look at the natural part of the seals and just see a battle of Armageddon when they're fighting out there. That leaves too many questions in your mind. And I was looking just the other day, the prophet said, if you've got a question, you can't have perfect faith. See, if you got a question in your mind, you can't rightly have faith on anything. Because you just don't know for sure. And faith is standing there saying, this is it, no matter what you think about it. But see, we've got to see that because we don't want to just look at the natural side. If we just look at the natural side of the seal, then you just cover the fourth seal as the battle of Armageddon, and the rapture's done come before that ever happens and all. They're just having a great battle over there, and these brothers that I've heard in the message preach about it, let alone turn on your radio and listen to them talk about Armageddon. I've heard of brothers in the message preaching how that those airplanes was just ready and Israel was ready this way and everything was ready to happen and just come down through there. And we listened to a man down in Athens one night preaching on, boy, he was just bringing down all them forces and just a great name in this message that you'd know. Oh, he would just bring it all. Brother Moat went in and talked to one of his assistants there that he knew real well and was a close friend, and he said, well, he's preaching on Armageddon. He said, yeah. He said, well, did he ever go to the fourth seal of the prophet who was preaching and see where the forces come from to fight that battle? And the man said, no. See, he had everything. Oh, man, he could have drawn it out and made you just seen, you could just see a battle fixing to happen. But the prophet didn't cover it that way. He simply said, see, that's why it's so well said until it's hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent. Now, that's the way the Bible's written. Well, then the seven seals would have to come out the same way, that it would have to be so well said. Now, watch it tonight, that the carnal mind can't understand the spiritual things. If we can get that far tonight, we'll see the carnal mind can't understand it. Well, then the seals would have to be the same thing as the Bible's written. The Bible's written that the carnal mind can't comprehend what God said. Take the carnal mind and read Genesis 3. In Genesis 3, we just read where that there was a man and woman there and there was a beast there. And we just read how that beast talked to that woman and that woman saw an apple hanging on a tree. That's the way the carnal mind thinks it. See? And that woman reached up and took that apple off the tree, and she took her a big bite of that apple, and then she carried the apple over and she gave it to her husband, Adam, and he took a great big bite off of that apple, and all at once they were standing there and, you know, naked before then. All at once they didn't even know this naked, and all at once their eyes come open, they see this naked. Well, see, the natural man, that's what he sees. But as I've tried to say before, if apples will make you know you're naked, then we'll just buy a truckload of apples, drive down through the city of Gainesville, and every woman we see immorally dressed, we'll give her an apple, and she'll find out she's naked, go home, put her on a dress. Well, now, we know better than that, don't we? It wouldn't work that way, would it? But see, that's the natural man, the forbidden fruit. And my mother said she read that to my daddy. He couldn't even read. Said he lied and said that wasn't no apple she eat. See, why was the beast cursed? Why was he first a beast, an upright creature, and then all at once you see him going to the ground and crawling like a snake? You see, we look at things natural when we shouldn't. We should look at it seeking God to see what He's trying to tell us. But now, if we just stay on the natural application of what we see from the seals, then when you come to the fourth seal, you see the fourth seal as Armageddon that happens at the end of the tribulation and the church has gone up. Why would there be a fifth, sixth, and seventh seal? You wouldn't even need it. There would be no need. God doesn't use vain repetitions and things like that. There'd be no need of knowing anything about the fifth, sixth, and seventh seal. Because you just know that you've gone on the fourth and that'd be it. You'd be gone. But yet God hid in simplicity in those seals the thing that will redeem us. The mystery of redemption is hid in those seals that will give us the change of the body. Well, just to know that there's going to be an Armageddon, the Baptist preached that there's going to be an Armageddon. The Methodist, the Presbyterian, every one of them preaches there's going to be an Armageddon. You turn on the radio now and you'll hear preachers preaching on Armageddon. But now, for them to preach it, all they could see would be Russia and China and this and that and the other. But they can't fulfill the Scripture. As I said, you couldn't see Jerusalem compassed about on all sides. But now, let's just go back a minute before we start on this fourth seal of going back to the beginning. Let's just think of where we've come to now. I want us to see something because we keep laying a foundation. You remember how we went through the Antichrist, the false prophet, the incarnate false prophet, and then come to the beast on the natural side of the seal? Well, see, we've been building on the spiritual side also. What did we cover from the first seal? We saw one true and living God in a opposition of the Antichrist on the white horse. And we saw that to be the revelation of the one true and living God. Then when we picked up the second seal, what did we find? When we picked up the second seal in our studies, what did we find under that? We found that there was a promise of a restoration of the Word. And Brother Branham, even in that second seal, said that it was promised to be restored to the bride for redemption's purposes. You remember that? We read it over and over and over. It's in the second seal. He said, for redemption's purposes, the Word would be restored to the bride. Well, then we wouldn't be just dealing with a red horse and looking at the killings then, would we? We'd be dealing with a promise of God from that seal that the Word one day would be restored to the bride of Jesus Christ. All right, then we're looking at the redemption side of it then. What did we find from the third seal? We saw under the third seal that the Word began to be restored to the bride. We saw it in a restoration like Luther, Wesley, Pentecost coming down in a restoration of the Word. Then we went on to see that even the Word would come to the place that it would be the spoken Word from the lips of the bride of Jesus Christ that they could create anything or do anything they wanted to with the Word. Because it would be the Word from their lips that would come in power. See, the Word would be restored to you. So your third seal shows you a restoration of the Word. It shows what the Word can do. Now, when we get into this fourth seal now, what's the fourth seal? Because the fourth seal will show us the Word in action. Not just a promise, not a restoration of it, but a Word in action. We saw from the natural seal that it would come to a place that the word would be restored to Israel there under the natural part of Armageddon, and it would be the word that would face Satan as he comes into that battle. Well, then surely we can see that the promise to be restored down there under the second seal comes to pass under the third seal, and then the fourth seal shows you the very word and what it does. What will be the natural thing under the natural seal? Satan's forces will be destroyed by the word. Is that true? Under the natural battle of Armageddon, Satan's forces will be destroyed by the word. Well, surely then, we ought to be able to see that the fourth seal will show us something that will destroy the very hold that Satan has on us. Satan has held something over us from the very beginning of time. You'll see it this morning from the scriptures I read right there and what happened there in Genesis. You'll see that it's death that he's held over us from the beginning. He's held that thing over us with a spear. Then the fourth seal, if the rapture comes on the fourth seal, the bride of Jesus Christ has to catch the revelation from under that fourth seal to make the rapture. Well, then it would be simple to see it if you keep your mind in simplicity. The first seal shows that God. The second seal shows that there would be a fall away of the church and the things would happen. And there'd be a promise of the word to be restored. Third seal shows the word being restored to us, going on right now. But the fourth seal shows you what that word will do. It has to break somewhere in somebody. It might not be me and you that makes it, but it has to in somebody. That word has to raise in power to meet the enemy. We can see it over there to Israel. We can see what happens to them, that the word begins to rise with those two witnesses as they begin to preach it. It rises up so high until here comes the two forces together. The word, life. What we found the other day, the battle was between. The battle's between life and death. Death, Satan and his forces. Life, God and his forces. All right, then, surely, we can see it if we look at Israel as a natural and watch what happens to them under the natural part of the seal, and then let that be a type. Let that type, the redemption of the bride, well, surely then we can see the word as it rages over to them and destroys the enemy. Well, then the word will have to raise in power to the bride of Christ to destroy Satan's hold that he's got on us. And why not just go down to the end of it and see the main thing? You can say, well, Satan's got this demon here on you. Satan's got this demon here on you. He's got this little thing here he's holding me with. People will say, I can't quit smoking. Satan's holding that over me. I can't quit drinking. The devil just got that on me. I can't quit this. I can't quit that. You know, the devil's holding. Won't you go down to the end of it and just say, the devil is death. Satan was revealed to us last week, if you caught it, as death from that fourth seal. He's been death from when he started back there in the very little antichrist thing, little sayings that just began to go out in the early church that was back there. That was death right then. But that's just one of his little demons that goes out. But it was death the whole time. Then we ought to be able to say, well, it's not just this little thing that's holding me. Death is what I've got to look at. All right, then we found that Satan has no power. Now, we found that from the fourth seal revealed, and it even was revealed under the first seal that he had no power. And we read it to you where the prophet said he's just a bluff. He has no arrows for his bow, the first seal shows you. The brother Branham said he's just a bluff. Well, see, then coming down to the fourth seal, showing death to be destroyed. Now that's what we're headed to. See, that's the point that I want you to catch. But we'll keep going over and over that point as we go along, because we want you to catch that and to see that death has no... Paul said death has no sting. Death has no victory. The grave doesn't have a victory over us. Jesus, even back there before they were born again, we were talking about it last week. Lazarus. They said Lazarus dead. He said Lazarus sleeping. The little girl that was there, they said she's dead. He said she's just asleep. They laughed him to scorn. He just had to put them every one out before he could raise him from the dead. Death and life can never come together. Jesus, as I said, never went to a funeral. He raised the dead every time he went. Because death and life can't exist. Darkness and light can't exist in the same place. Light puts out the darkness. See, it can't exist. But then if we can see death and see it as a perversion of life, not a force of its own, there is no such thing, as I said, as a perpetual motion. I can see death just as much being a force of its own as I can see perpetual motion. But yet we're so scared of death, because that's what's been holding over. Now watch it this morning, because we want to see the beginning. Just write down a title if you want to, fourth seal, but write your title, Beginning of Death. Beginning of death. And then you'll see what I'm trying to drive to in the scriptures with you. What did we find? We found that the battle on that fourth seal, I read it to you last week, we'll reread it and go back to it. It started in heaven and came down to the earth and will end in the battle of Armageddon, which is termination of forces, mount of slaughter, termination of forces. We saw his forces come from Protestants and Catholics. Jesus, this comes from the Word. But to his, Satan's forces comes from Protestants and Catholics. Now we want to see how this all wound up to be that. And if you'll watch it, it may take till tonight before we can get to the place. But you'll see then why the prophet used the word Protestants and Catholics. Instead of saying Russia and China and this and that and the other, you'll see, the Lord willing, why he said it that way. We covered that they had the same spirit. You remember that? Because Jesus was taken up there, and what is it, about Matthew 4 or somewhere in there where Jesus was taken up, showed all the kingdoms of the world. Satan said, I'll give you these, and Jesus never argued with it, because Satan controls every nation in the world. Every one of them is controlled by Satan. But now watch, how does he get that control over them? You say, oh, he gets that because they're just mean. Those people in Russia, they're just so mean. I remember one time talking to my mother-in-law about how that God would raise up Russia to destroy the United States. Samuel, we are a religious nation. And Russia, they're what do you call them? Atheistic. They don't even believe in God. Well, see, she couldn't see that God would allow this nation to come up. She couldn't even study the Bible, I guess, to understand. God would raise up a nation back there in the Bible times and let it come over and conquer Israel and take them captivity. God would allow that to be done because of the sin of the people. Well, surely we can see that death waits this nation in. I'll show you in the seal book where he said slavery waits us. Now, he never did take it back. He said, what would happen one of these days if they put one of those great big Sputniks up in the sky and told the capital, said, we'll drop one on you if you don't surrender. He said, then in a matter of hours, he said, there'd be Russian soldiers just coming into this nation, ravishing the women, killing and everything, just be at their mercy. Now, that's the way he described it. You say, oh, we wouldn't do that. Do you realize right now that Russia has got something about our computers? I read about it here
about a year or so ago. They've got something that they came over here and purchased through deceit and took it back over there. They know our computer system right to the dot. They can move little gadgets in there, they said, and totally wipe ours out. And all of our rockets and missiles and everything is controlled by computers. You see, we're waiting. There's this nation's slavery lays before it, because we've done exactly what Israel done. When Israel went over there, they drove the people out of the land and took over, didn't they? What did we do here in the United States? We come in here and took it away from the Indian, didn't we? Slavery waits this nation then. But we better get ready and get out of here before that happens. Not one bomb will drop on this nation before the Bride of Christ gets out of here. Well, that's what I want to do. I want to be ready to get out of here before one bomb falls on this nation. But see, we'll have to see it. If we can see and look right straight at death and life at it. But we can never do it with fear. We can never do it with our own ideas. You ever seen people that were so sick till they got where they said they didn't want to live? Well, now what had happened to that person about 5 minutes after they died? Reckon they'd be thinking the same way. Might change their mind then. But they just get so sick, so much in pain, until they just want to die. Well, see, we've got to look at death and see it for what it is. And if it's a perversion of life and not a force of its own, then it has to be permitted. The Lord permitted it to happen, as I said the other day, to keep us from being antiques living around here for 6,000 years. And if you'll notice there in your Bible, when he said, put him out from the tree of life, lest he take of the tree of life and live forever. It didn't use the word eternal, because he's already in a sinful state. But he could have lived forever, which would have been 6,000 years. But he didn't. Because God had done put the curse on and said, the day you eat thereof, that day you die. No man lived to be 1,000 years old. Methuselah was 969 as the oldest. He never made 1,000 years. All right, then just look at it for a minute now. Let's watch this beginning of death. Now, we'll try to pick it up and just see what the prophet was covering on it, because we read it to you the other day, but we'll go back and read it just for the purpose of you getting it in your mind. Look at 317 of the seal book. The first battle, and notice what it's all coming to. And we got about 12 or 14 minutes here, I guess. Look, it's coming right down the way it did. It started in heaven. It's coming to the end time battle. The first thing in heaven was a battle. Lucifer was kicked out and come to the earth. Then he polluted Eden. Then he's been polluting ever since. All right, now that's one to show you that's what he's talking about. Here's on page 13 of Greatest Battle Ever Fought. This great first battle that was ever fought began in heaven. When Michael and his angels fought against Lucifer and his angels, it first started, the first battle was in heaven, so sin did not originate on the earth. It originated in heaven. See, that's why Jesus had to come from heaven. He didn't come from the earth. He came from heaven, where sin originated, where he could take away the sin. And then it was thrown down from heaven, cast out of heaven to the earth, and fell on human beings. Then the battle from angels become human battles. And Satan come to destroy God's creation. What God had created to be for himself, he had, Satan, come to destroy this. That's what his purpose was to destroy it. Then the battle began here on earth and began in us, and it's been raging ever since. Now, if we see Armageddon as death being destroyed, then the beginning of the battle was in heaven. I see the beginning of that battle. That's why I said put that to it. Beginning of death. Because in heaven, everything was in a perfect state. Satan began to get just a little exalted. He began to get just a little built up. In his mind, he began to visualize himself
as greater than God. He began to scatter that out among the angels until about either a third or two-thirds of the angels believed that saying that he started out with and were cast out of heaven when he was cast out. Satan was the anointed cherub, we've been taught by the prophet. The Bible tells us that. He stood beside the Lord. He was created perfect. There's one scripture there that covers that he was created perfect in his creation, but yet iniquity was found in him. Then he was had to be cast out because of that exalted estate. What did Satan want to exalt himself to be? And then you look over here in the end time and you'll see him as doing that. Satan wanted to exalt himself above the sons of God, to be worshipped as God. Now let's just read that from our scriptures if you want to follow along. Look in Isaiah, the 14th chapter, and we'll just read these, and then we'll pick up in Ezekiel, the 28th chapter. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Stars of God are sons of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That's your worship side of your northern side was the worship side. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now, his idea, the beginning of death, see as I said, his thoughts brought the first death. His thoughts brought the first death to man. Because if he'd have stayed in his right state to begin with, he was created perfect, as I was quoting the scripture there. I'll get it for you later if you'd like. He was created perfect. He was the son of the morning. He's even so great until it speaks of him over in the New Testament as being a shining light, as being a great thing that, you know, great shining thing. And even his ministers as ministers of righteousness, not even law teachers and things like that, legalists. That's why it's so deceiving in this hour. Because that anointed cherub, when he fell from his right state that he was there, and Brother Branham even said he was co-equal with God. In the beginning, you'll find that on Marriage and Divorce. But yet he fell from that place. And then when he fell from that place, he brought man to a place. Brother Branham said, as I read you there, it fell then from angels' battles down to human battles. And it's been raging ever since then upon this earth. Look in Ezekiel while we've got it, just for a couple of scriptures on it. Look at Ezekiel 28. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up. Now, watch, this is not a man. This is a man sitting there that he was taking the lamentation against. But who was it that gets exalted? Because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I said in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. Now Daniel, if you remember, was the head of the wise men in his day. Here the scripture says that this one that you're talking about is wiser than Daniel. Now he was wiser than Daniel. Watch him now. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, different things that goes on down showing his destruction. But that's not a natural king. That's a natural man sitting there that he's talking about. But on down just a little bit further, we'll read it in a minute, you'll find out this man, king of Tyrus, was in Eden. Now, that man wasn't back there in Eden. But Satan is wiser than Daniel. There's no secret. Look what you said in Scripture. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. Brother Branham said Satan even had a knowledge of the principles of life. What life consists of, not just of life, you know. Oh, he knows all about the birds and the trees. Now he knows all about life. He knew enough to know that beast seed would mingle with that woman. He knew that much. Then let's don't try to outsmart him. There's no need of us trying to say, well, boy, I'm smarter than the devil. I told you that Pentecostal man that time told me, said, why, the devil don't even bother me no more. Said, I'm working on commanding the Lord now. And I walked away thinking, how deceived can a human mortal being be that Satan is wiser than Daniel? That no secret could be kept from him. And then we think, now let's just talk about this. We think, well, we know all about this message. Well, we know a lot of the secret things about this message. Well, we know this Bible, we know all that. You think Satan don't know that? You think Satan don't have, the prophet said he's got a knowledge on the revelation? He wouldn't have the revelation, he'd be born again, but he's got a knowledge on the revelation. Paul said, I can understand all mysteries. Have not charity, I'm nothing. Alright, then we don't want to try to outsmart Satan, but we want the Word to just come and stand there and face him. See, and in that we can see it. But what happened now? We see here that the battle began in heaven. Alright, we see by the Scripture, Satan cast out of heaven because of the battle. We see how smart and shrewd he is. He brings all of that down to the earth. And then what does he begin to work through? It become then human battles. See, then when he come to earth, it become a human battle. Alright, then you see then, there in Eden, what do you see Satan start doing with Eve? He begins to talk to her through the beast. Now, the beast is not Satan. The beast was a beast. It was an animal between man and the monkey that Darwin could never find. If he had known that, he could have done greater damage with his theory of evolution, because the natural man, see, couldn't get across. But Darwin just come up to the monkey, and that's as far as he could go, and the man was over here, and he couldn't cross the line on over. Had he known the revelation from the Bible, he could have done greater damage with his doctrine of, you know, evolution as it come up. If he had just read the Bible and saw from the Bible that there was a beast there, he'd have had his missing link between monkey and the man. But you see, Satan began to use that beast. Now, Eve wouldn't have talked to no snake and listened to it talk. I've killed a lot of snakes in my day. I've heard a lot of snakes, you know, rattle their tail. But I've never heard a snake yet say a word. Have you? Have you ever talked to one for a while? But a beast can talk. A human being can talk. And that beast was higher than man and monkey, and monkey's pretty smart. You know, they can train a monkey to do just about anything a human can do. But yet he can't talk and reason out things. But yet here's an animal standing there that can talk. It can be used to speak and talk to Eve. And I don't believe it was a 5-minute conversation and Eve eat the apple or whatever she done. I believe it maybe was because time wasn't recorded there before the fall, if you know that. They was in the seventh day, which is the rest, and that wouldn't have, the rest, it wouldn't have been counted as time, see. Why, he might have talked to her months, years, hundreds of years in walking and talking through the Garden of Eden. And no telling how long that he walked around and talked with her and everything. And then when he did, see, that began a human battle. Well, now, what's in your head, your brain? And he says, in your human brain, begin a battle. Now, that's the battle that's been going on ever since then. I've had battles, and this week I've had a real bad battle. Even though you try to deer hunt and sit down and meditate on the Lord, there's so much of battle and a constant pressure to you just can't even do it. You have to get out and start walking to even be human. You just can't, because you just press so much till you don't know what to do. The greatest battle that's ever been fought is in the human mind. Now God chose His place to occupy. And we're taught that that's the soul of man, where he chose to occupy. But Satan chose the brain. The head, your brain, your thinking ability, or what you want to call it. Well, then in that we can see Eve as she begins to walk in the garden and this beast begins to talk with her. And to just, you know, day after day after day after day. There's not a girl or anybody that's ever been approached by a man in what we're talking about in that form that don't know that a man just don't run up and grab a woman and start making love to her, does he? He has to contact her in her brain. Then once that's done, then the rest will take place. So we see that beast as he just begins to work, you know, around and just talking with her day after day and explaining things to her. And she says, well, Adam, he hasn't told me these things. Maybe she goes back to Adam and she says, Adam, what about this reproduction that we're supposed to do? You know, she could remember that because she was back there in theophany with him, because it was in Genesis about 1 there, 26 and 28 through there, where they were made in a spiritual creation and then told to multiply and replenish the earth. She probably knew that. She maybe retained that much in her understanding. But Adam was the Word, because he was a created Son of God and eternal life placed in him. And Adam told Eve, said, Eve, it's not time. Maybe she goes back and bumps into this man day after day after day, this beast. Any woman that could ever have been seduced by a man knows what I'm talking about. That it's not just a fling of a 5-minute thing. It works its way up gradually, breaking down her barrier that she has around her. See, that barrier, the prophet said, was the Word. Said he had his children fortified behind the Word. Said Eve stepped down behind the Word. You find that on Spoken Word's original seat. She stepped from behind the Word, and when she did, Satan went at her. He began to get her to reason. Death set in. right there, when she began to reason, was the very beginning of death. Now, the prophet says on page 20 and 21 of the greatest battle ever fought, that when Satan began to talk to Eve, he stopped up some flues. Now, that's the way he says it. He stopped up some channels. And he explains to us what that was. You'll find him explaining it, how that you're a triune being. Now, he says you take three circles. We could read these out of the books and things and all. He says you take three circles. He says that's what we are. He says we are a triune being. And Paul found that, Paul knew that in his writing, because he said that your body, spirit, and soul be preserved. See, he knew that we were a triune being, just showing us in the Scripture. But the outside is the body. The inside rim is the spirit. Then you have a soul. Now that's what you consist of. Now what's what you are? This outside body, it's got five senses. This body that we have here has got five senses to it. You got see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. With those things, you contact the world. You eat, you taste, you feel, you contact this world that we live in. See, taste, smell, feel, smell, and hear. On your spirit, you've got five senses. You've got love, reasoning, memory, conscience, and affections. Now, that's where the trouble's at, is right there in the second realm. Your soul has only one sense. Doesn't have two senses or anything. It only has one sense. It's either faith or doubt. In other words, you're either, as I said the other day about the mark of the beast. You remember me talking last week and week before last about the mark of the beast? You've either got the mark of the beast or you've got the seal of God. If you've got the seal of God, you've got the Holy Spirit right there in your soul. If not, the devil's right there in your soul. So you see where the battle's at now. The battle is in the mind of man and the brain. Now watch, I'm not saying the spirit is your brain. Don't get me wrong now. Your spirit works through your brain. Your see, taste, feel, smell, and hear works through your brain. The only way you can get to a man's soul is through his brain. Now that's either God or Satan. It don't make no difference. God can't go straight into your soul unless he comes through your senses. Getting to you. You got to hear somebody, read it or do something, you know, see it. Then on the other side, you got memory, reason, conscience, affections, and things like that working in your spirit. Now, your brain is a center for that to work through. God and Satan both work through the same spirit to get to your soul. Not a different spirit, neither one of them work, they work through the same place. Alright, then in doing that, Satan was there in Eden. And if you'll read on in Ezekiel there 28, verse 13, he's talking about, well, let's just read 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation of the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Ever precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, and he named all the jasper and all of them. They were his covering. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Listen, thou art the anointed cherub. Here's the scripture that I was trying to think of a while ago. That covereth, I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Now Satan is who he's talking to. He said, thou wast in Eden. That king wasn't back there in Eden. It was the devil in him. If you want page 19 of Questions and Answers, book 7, the prophet said it was Satan that he's talking to. Questions and Answers, Book 7, page 7. Page 19, excuse me. But Satan was back there in Eden working through that beast. Now, what did he stop up? The prophet said he stopped up some flues, some channels. What channels did he stop up to get into here? You'll see why we have so much trouble. He stopped up the channels of this spirit because he began to talk to Eve. He got Eve to reason. He said, don't you remember, see, memory. Don't you remember that God told you in that spiritual creation that you was to multiply and replenish the earth? She'd say, yes. Well, then isn't it reasonable, see, reasoning, that this is the way it's to be done? Adam won't tell you that, because if Adam tells you that, you will know what he knows. But listen, I know what he knows, so I'll tell you about it. You were made to do this. You were made for reproduction. Look at the animals and the things, male and female, made for reproduction. Look at all the things that are here. And that beast begins slowly working through those reasoning, memory, conscience, and affections until he reached her affections. And he began to tell her all about the things that she was supposed to do. And that was the eating of the tree that she partook of that was not right. Not an apple she ate. She first began through her... Satan began to talk to her through all of them things in that spirit until she began to see that that was right. Read the greatest battle. See where the prophet said there he was. A more beautiful looking person than Adam was. More handsome, big, robust, strong looking. Maybe Adam was just a small like feller. Begin to talk to her all about all those things. And when he did, that was the beginning of death. Now you and I, I'll never go out of here until we get those senses lined up with the Word. We will never leave this world in a rapture unless those senses of our spirit can be cleaned out of Satan's reasoning. Now, have you ever been prayed for sickness? And about that time, here comes along a little something, say you've got a little growth on there that's just beginning to grow, a little spot on you that's beginning to grow, and it just won't stop growing, it just keeps growing. And you go up and say, I want you to pray for me. This spot here has been growing on me for weeks now. Satan comes in, he says, that's cancer. That's cancer. You better stop right there. Because with the Bible, I can prove it. The Bible says what Job feared came upon him. Now, what he actually feared came upon him. You can stand right there and open a channel. My brother-in-law for years complained with his heart hurting, and they run every test in the world could be run on his heart and could never find nothing wrong with it. And you know what? He worried about his heart until now he's got heart trouble. He opened a channel just like Eve did there in Genesis. She opened up her reasoning to Satan. She wanted wisdom. She wanted to know, because Satan used that to her. What I read you a while ago, he told her, he said, the day you eat of that, you will be wise, knowing good and evil. You'll become as gods, he said. Through that subtlety, he approached that woman and got her to fall through that. That right there was the beginning of death. You'll see tonight that right there is where he started gathering his forces. And that's why it's called Protestants and Catholics. You'll see that tonight, the Lord willing. But just think now. I want you to just think this morning. Adolf Hitler took over Germany through promises of deceit. You got a man hungry? Promise him food, he'll do anything. You don't have to give him the food, just promise it to him. He'll do anything. That's better than just sitting there. But just think now, he works through that reasoning right here this morning now. What's the greatest battle that's ever been fought is in right now in your mind, because some of you are thinking this way and some's thinking that way and some going this way and some going that way. Some of you are thinking, well, did I cut the stove off? Some of the ladies, did I cut the stove off this morning? Well, did I do this? Did I cook what my husband wants for dinner? What this? That? Have I got everything fixed? That's going through your mind. The Bible says bring every thought into captivity. I say something in a certain way around, well, is he talking about me? Is he talking about me now when he's talking like that? That's through your reasoning, isn't it? I remember so-and-so, and now what he's saying, listen at him. The greatest battle that's ever fought is right now going on, and the death that we see under Armageddon that finally terminates, that death is in that mind that you and me has got this morning that we're letting run hog wild. You'll never conquer death. I mean, forget it. You'll never conquer death until we see that and get it in its right place, because Paul caught it and he said, bringing every thought into captivity. Casting down imaginations. Now listen, casting down, he said, imaginations. I imagine it. Well, cast it down. If Eve would have done that to begin with, there wouldn't have been no problems. But yet, she let Satan stop up them flues through her spirit, and that throwed every person then that would ever come into the world. See, we throw off on Eve. We say if Eve just hadn't have done what she done, we can't blame Eve no more. Sorry, you can't lay back on that. You can't blame Eve no more. You blame your own mind now. You're a free moral agent just like she was, put on that basis. And God can only work through your memory, reasoning, conscience, affection. He can't work through nothing else. He's got to work through that. Because when Eve fell in the garden, right there before she ever done the literal act, she had already sold out to death. The act just showed what she believed. She disbelieved God. Even when we was Baptists, we was taught that, wasn't it? The original sin's unbelief. She disbelieved God. When she did, the natural act took place. The spiritual act inside of her had already taken place, you might call it. I don't know whether you call it spiritual act or not, but it was inside of her. She had already sold out to her reasoning, her memory, and wouldn't stay behind the Word. When she walked out behind the Word, she walked away. That's death right there. What she done just went on and produced it into human bodies for other people, but she died right there. You disbelieve the Word one time, you're dead right there. The Word has to come through an inlet to your soul. And that inlet to your soul is your spirit. You've got to have a human brain, or you couldn't be born again. You couldn't do nothing, because your brain is what works and makes you a unit. You could go down and preach all you wanted to a person they call a vegetable, you know, that they say that just the brain part's working, that just works the functions of the body or something, but they can't, there's nothing else left there. You could preach to that person all you wanted to, and there wouldn't be nothing you could do. Well, you know what's the worst? It's the people, a lot of times, that you preach to are just that. Do you realize you can seal your conscience? You ever heard that called? You know, sear it, seal your conscience. Sear it with a hot iron, you know, if you've heard people talk about it. Until it's like Brother Brown said about that girl. She said, Brother Brown, since the last time you told me that I ought to come to the altar and be saved, said I could see my mother's soul fry in hell in life now. Look out there now, it's a whole joke. Everything's a joke now. Whistling like the little boy going through the graveyard, but their conscience are seared. They've sealed it off until God can't come down through none of that now. They've already got the mark of the beast. Satan and the soul already marked. Are you that away this morning? Because that's the beginning of death. And that's how the forces turn out to be, not Russia, China, this, that, and the other. They turn out to be Protestants and Catholics, because you'll see tonight, the Lord willing, the Protestants and Catholics just pick that thing, same thing right up that Eve had back there, that Satan began to reason with her. The Protestants and Catholics begin to reason the same way. And reasoning on the word, death every time. Anytime we reason, well, let's see, let's just sit down and reason out what Brother Brown's saying on them seals. Well, let's just reason it out. Well, you know, we ought to be able to reason. They wanted one time to take Brother Brown's message, you know, the quotations sound a little different, and feed them into a computer and let the computer be the answer. And you can't do that. But reasoning on the word is the beginning of death. It's like Brother Hansis was preaching the other night. You know, what is that about? In other words, where the baby, sin once conceived bringeth forth something anyhow. In other words, well, first you get the thoughts and then you get the baby. First you get the thoughts and it goes that way, and the next it goes over into something that's finished product. Death. Do you see the beginning of death? That when she began to reason, that began death. I use a lot of natural illustrations because that's just the best way to talk. A natural woman knows when a man's trying to get natural things because of his approach. Then surely we can see how Satan is using that to keep us from coming. It don't matter if you're born again here in this soul. Peter, Paul, all of them great apostles that stand like they stood and said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. The man that wrote, casting down imaginations and reasonings and all the things that exalt itself above God, died, went to the grave. Death took him. Why? Because he didn't have the word to come to the place to see how to control that, to worry that it wouldn't be death. And you and I'll go the same route. Born again in the soul. Like Brother Branham explained it on the greatest battle ever fought. We'll try to get to it later on, the Lord willing, and see it in the message. He says, you go out and you got a seed of corn, you let it come up a little piece, lay something over that seed of corn. You don't kill it, it just comes out like that and comes up crooked. It'll come up deformed, won't it? Well, see, that's what's wrong with us. We are deformed. By listening to our memory, our reasoning, and consciousness, we are deformed this morning. And the prophet taught a message called transformed. Paul said, transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, if we can get rid of our mind in here and be born again and get his mind and then come all the way out till our very brain is Paul said, bringing every thought under captivity. In our brain, get our very brain to be the very thinking capacity of God. What can he do with a person then? Look at the example of it in the last days. It's the prophet of God and the things that could be done through his ministry. As one man that got himself out of the way. One man that walked away from those carnal reasonings. Oh, how it is. During this Christmas season, I was thinking our brother Branham was walked away from all of them carnal reasonings and all like that, and withstood a whole religious system of the world and tried to get them to come to a place of seeing that they ought to love one another. And they ridiculed him to the world, and then here they write about, here's Jesus, a man that stood against the religious society of his day, and they call him God. But they wouldn't believe him to be God if they were standing back there either. But I heard a Pentecostal man on the radio this morning. Don't know why I turned it on that. I generally play a tape of some kind or listen to the singing and just turned off. And I heard this congregational holiness preacher in Gainesville. And you know what he said? He said, we're getting together now. He said, there's plenty of Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians that are seeking a revival and coming together with us to pray for a revival. Where they used to fight each other at the drop of a hat. But now, coming together, that's the way he said it. He said, coming together with us to pray for God to send a revival. They'll get the desires of their heart. What about me and you? Reasoning is just the carnal mind. Carnal mind is an enmity against God. Enmity. What did it say back there and I read you in the scripture? When he said to the beast, to the serpent, calling it it was a beast first, seeing then made a serpent, because a beast and a serpent is two different things. One of them is an upright creature, another is a snake crawling on its belly. He said, I'll put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman. Paul come along and said, the carnal mind said, that's enmity against God. It's not even subject to the laws of God. It can't be brought under captivity to God. The carnal mind can't. But if we lose our mind and take Jesus' mind, then we can bring our mind under captivity. But you see what Eve done?
Joyce, would you come?
You see what Eve done in the garden? She just listened to her reasoning. She just went with her reasoning. And when she went with her reasoning, then everything else went. She began death. She started death. It'll end in the Battle of Armageddon. Let's just stand together and sing number 216, There Is a Fountain. Filled with blood. If you're having trouble with them reasoning, imaginations, and conscience and things, just stop for a minute. Let the word just come down through there. Come into the soul. Just for a moment. And you'll see that everything will be made all right. Death has to be destroyed. Let's sing this if anyone has any. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunge
beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stain. The dying feet rejoice to see that fountain in his day. And there may I go by as he wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away.
Let it come down now past your reasoning, past your memory. Come right on down into the soul. Hear that voice say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransom church of God be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Till all the ransom church of God to sin no more.
Now this is the last verse.
Ere sins by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die.
We appreciate each one of you being out this morning. Just pray one for another. Remember tonight, sir, communion night. Just pray that the Lord would guide us, lead each one through life. Anything to be said before we dismiss? All pray together. Father, we thank you for an opportunity of being here. We ask you to protect the people on the highways, guide each one. Lead us all by thy love and spirit. Show us your grace that we may walk therein. Father, help us now. Have your will and way in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You're dismissed.
Faith of